So we have been chomping at the bit to let our tongues loose. At least some of us have. It's kind of like, you know, if you go to a park bench or you see a post and there's wet paint on it, and there's a sign that says wet paint, and you're just so tempted to touch it, right? You know it's wet, but you just got to touch it and see. That's maybe how we feel a little bit through Lent, because we want to say alleluia. We want to say it, but we're not supposed to. And we wait these long 40 days of Lent. At least some of us do. I know some people whose name maybe begins with A and rhymes with Anne, who like to say alleluia because, you know, she just, it's joy, and it's hard to keep that joy in. So it's been a long Lent, and we've waited, and we're ready. It's almost like it's been this novel, a big, thick novel like Grapes of Wrath, where it's complicated, and you're paying attention, and you get to the end, and you think, oh, finally, I'm finished. And it was a good novel, but I'm finished. But that's not really what's happening here, right? Because we're not finished. We're getting ready to start a new chapter. It's like part of the book is finished, but not all of it. So our story of the resurrection this morning comes from John. And John has I really like John's rendition of the resurrection because I think John is a little bit funny. I mean, he can be really serious at times in his writing, but this one is a little strange. It's almost like we're broken into two different places. And the first part is, if you can imagine, like a black and white comedy skit, maybe Charlie Chaplin. And I don't mean to be irreverent, but stay with me for this. Mary finds the tomb, the stone rolled away. And she runs and tells these two men, Peter and the other disciple that she loves so much, that Jesus loved so much. And they then turn around and start running back to the tomb to see what happened. And one of them takes off faster than the other and kind of wins the race and gets there and just peeks a little bit. The other one, Peter, who catches up out of breath, he actually goes in the tomb, all the way in, and he sees not only the linen wrappings, but the head, the wrappings that wrap Jesus' head. And after he went in the tomb, then so did the other disciple. And they're both in the tomb, and they're looking, and they see that Jesus isn't there. And then they come out, and they run back home. That's not very helpful, is it? They just run back home, and we don't really know what happened next, but it sure sounds like they went back home and were kind of couch potatoes and hung out. That doesn't, it's not helpful. The second part of the story, though, is maybe more weighty. It's a bit more serious because Mary is left at the tomb, and she is weeping. She is inconsolable because the one that she loves so much is not there. And she doesn't know where he is. So all she can do is cry and weep. It's kind of like a 10-month-old who, you know, 10-month-old babies are in that separation anxiety thing. And they want to know where their moms are all the time or their dads are all the time. So Mary, when she's crying, she hears Jesus' voice. She talks to angels first, but then she hears Jesus' voice and doesn't recognize it the first time, but certainly recognizes it the second time. And she turns, and she sees Jesus, and she is so happy. The tears stop. She is so happy to see him, and she runs to him. But kind of like, I mean, it's like a 10-month-old baby who you give them, you know, maybe somebody's just holding them in coffee hour on their lap and bouncing around and they're having a good time. And all of a sudden they realize their parent is not there. The mom's not there. The dad's not there. and they freak out and cry because they don't know where their parents are, and they're sobbing and sobbing. And you're trying to pat the baby, and all of a sudden the baby hears mom or dad's voice or some familiar voice, the person that they're missing. They hear the voice and they see the face, and the world is great again. All is well. That's all it takes, to see the face of the person that you love and that you miss. It almost sounds like, again, this the end. This is the end. It all ends happily because Mary sees Jesus, and alleluia, things are good. But we're not at the end of the book, right? We're at the end of this part of the story, and we're at the end is really like the beginning. We're beginning a new story. And that part of the story involves us because we participate in the story. We have to participate in the story. We do things like, we're like the disciples. I mean, we do things like give glory to God or praise Jesus, and then, the next minute we're turning our backs. Maybe like Peter, we jump ship, and then we're sorry for it. And it's okay. Maybe we're like Mary, who is weeping, sitting and weeping because something has moved us and something is hurting us, making us afraid, or we're just grieving and we're wondering, where is Jesus? I don't see Jesus, and I need to see Jesus, but I don't know where he is. Maybe we just praise and rejoice and give thanks. That's what we do. And we have to help each other see Jesus in places. The disciples, they investigated a little bit, they looked, they peeked, and then they got a little bit further in, and then they went home. But we have to do that work too. We have to be looking around. We have to be peeking maybe. We're really getting in there and seeing where Jesus is, because Jesus is there. In fact, I'll just show you. If you could just turn to your neighbor, even if you don't know them, and say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." Did you hear Jesus? Can you feel Jesus in the room, right? There's some energy, and there's laughing, and there's all of that good stuff. That means Jesus is in us, and we're here in this room together. And we have to help each other, right? We help each other on Sundays to come, and we'll do that today. We will come to the table, we will come to the altar, and we'll share the bread and the wine, the meal that we share together, that we remember Jesus. And we keep that story alive. We remember Jesus' body and blood together. If we hold these things inside, the word will not be spread. And that's our job. It's our opportunity. We're going to be with each other, friends, people that we know, people that we don't know. Sometimes it'll be seeing your child who's all grown up and goes to someone they don't even know and says, "Here, can I help you with that?" Nobody asked him. Just, "Can I help you with that?" And you see Jesus at work in that person. Maybe you're grieving. For whatever it is, we have a lot of things to grieve about in our lives. Some of them we grieve for a short period, and some for a very, very long period. But we have family and we have friends that come around us and support us and help us. And that's Jesus in other people. And when we do those things for people, that's Jesus in us. This is how we keep the story alive, by being Jesus in the world and by seeing Jesus in the world, because Jesus is alive and well. So, I have seen the Lord, and the Lord is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.